The third, fourth, and fifth Sundays of this holy season of Lent are three of my favorite Sundays in the entire church year because we hear three of my favorite stories in the Gospel of John. Each of these stories is about a profound personal encounter that someone has with the Lord. Last week, of course, you'll remember, it was the woman at the well who encountered Jesus in a time of loneliness and isolation. That story matters today because even though over the next few weeks we are going to go through some times of isolation and loneliness, it's also a moment where many of us will have a deeper encounter with Jesus of Nazareth. In today's gospel, we hear how Jesus cured a man who was blind from birth. We see that Jesus approached this man and gave him the gift of sight. This story also has a lot to teach us in these times, and it helps us to see what God wants to do for each of us and our entire world at this particular moment. And the first intriguing moment of this story is that question the disciples ask Jesus. They ask, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's undergoing this affliction? In other words, the disciples are asking Jesus, who's to blame for this? And Jesus, like he does so many times in the Gospels, answers the question in a way that we don't really expect. He says neither he nor his parents sinned. It's so that the works of God might be made visible through him. Now, just as the disciples wanted to know who to blame, there are many looking at this present situation and looking at who to blame for this present crisis. Whose fault is it that this virus is spreading? And whose fault is it that we didn't react soon enough? And perhaps even some other people who don't believe the virus is as big of a deal right now, but who are concerned by some of the economic slowdown that we're experiencing, are saying, who's to blame for that? You know, maybe it's the media, maybe it's other politicians. But blaming anyone for this present situation is not the way that Jesus himself processed this. Instead, Jesus' words force us to ask, how will the works of God be made visible through us who are afflicted? Take that question into prayer and reflection this week. Talk about this as a family. How will the works of God be made visible through you in this present moment when you are stuck at home? What simple acts of generosity, kindness, and patience can you do daily to make God visible to those around you, your family members, or perhaps even your close neighbors? Of course, those questions are important and we can reflect on them, but the gospel story goes even deeper. All right, Jesus actually heals this man of his blindness. He helps him to see the world, and this moment for us is a moment where we will come to see the world differently. In 1 week of extreme social distancing, I can tell you that I am already seeing things differently. I've been thinking back on the things I was complaining about or worried about like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I can barely even remember what they are. All right, it seems like ages ago. 2 weeks ago seems like an eternity. But I can see how so many of those things that I was so worried about or so occupied with simply aren't as important as they felt at the time. All right, they're certainly not as important to God as I thought they were. I'm also very much aware of the good things that I'd been given. I have a heightened awareness of those things. Last night I sat down for dinner to say grace and this prayer of gratitude, which for so much of my life has just kind of been a routine, you know, something you just kind of go through the motions, your mouth just kind of says, the blessed O Lord and these thy gifts. Well, as I sat down to pray, it was certainly much more sincere and intentional than it had been in the past. I'm starting to see how many things that God has blessed me with that I've taken for granted. And some of you might be starting to see that a bit as well. This moment will be yet another moment to help us see what our priorities in life were, and what they should be moving forward when this is over. Coming to see that in and of itself, having that new way of seeing our priorities and how we spend our time, that in and of itself is giving God glory in this moment. We will also see God's presence in new ways. One theme that has come up in my preaching over the last several years is what I see in the elderly among us at our parish. Many of our elderly parishioners in our local parishes have all the attributes that we need right now. I know so many of them to be patient, generous, peaceful, faithful, and hopeful. And this isn't just my observation, of course. So often when I do funerals for members of what we have come to call the greatest generation, their family members, remark on many of these same qualities. But what made the greatest generation great was not their moments of triumph, like walking on the moon. What gave them these good things, these virtues, was their difficult times. Surviving the Depression, fighting a world war, experienced trials in their own personal lives, losing people that they loved, losing jobs, things of that nature. Will God use those moments to transfer His own qualities into them? And remember, we look back on those moments in history and feel like they were sure things. Okay, we know that the Depression didn't last forever. But those who were living in it at the time, they didn't know that. We know now that we won World War II, and it's very difficult for us to think of the Second World War without that certainty. But for those who fought in it and those who were back home checking the news headlines anxiously for updates, they didn't know that we were going to win. Their times were very uncertain. And yet, they had faith in those moments. They were hopeful in those moments. They remained faithful to God, and God sort of used that time to infuse the good things that we see in Jesus into them. This also fits nicely into the gospel. The gospel says that Jesus spat on the ground and made clay with the dirt, and He rubbed this mixture of His saliva and dirt into the man's eyes and then told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, every time I read that, or every time I read that in the past, I would certainly think about how sort of disgusting it sounds. And even today, especially with everyone being a bit heightened in their germophobia than usual, certainly that seems very odd. But that's actually this new realization that I have, is that sometimes we have to do some dirty work in order for our eyes to be opened. There will be moments over the next few weeks that seem particularly difficult to endure. It will be dirty work. And those moments are the moments that will be most transformative for us. Those will be the moments that open our eyes up to the deepest realities of human life and the deepest expressions of God's love. Those moments will be the ones that draw us into deeper communion with the Lord, as they've done for so many generations throughout history. And when all this is over, we won't look back at this time and see it as a time of darkness, but as a moment where God and His people were light for the world. We won't look back and see it as a time when humanity was defeated and lives were destroyed. We'll see it as a moment where God's works were made visible to the world and He triumphed over suffering and death.